So today is we go for the book of the Nahum and a God of retaliation. So understanding book of the history is very important because all other prophecy book is also related to this book of the history, and we can find out where about its position in the history. So until last week, we covered the Isaiah, and it was related to the day of the King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So Assyria was a nation that threatened King Hezekiah. Today we will look at the book of the Nahum about God foretells destruction of Assyria. The Assyrian is the descendant of Ashur. In Genesis chapter 10 verse 22, he is one of the son of the Shem, the eldest son of Noah after the flood. So we can say Assyrian is a Shemite. The name Assyria comes from the Persian name Assur. So on the screen you can see the table. Before BC 2000, Sumerian culture begins in Mesopotamia. Then about 1350 BC, Assyria dominated the Mesopotamian region. The screen shows like which countries dominated Mesopotamia region. The Assyria is growing into an empire as the Kassite dynasty of Babylon collapsed in Mesopotamia. The power of a Hittite empire in Turkey and in the south, also the Egyptian empire, was weakened. The territories of the Assyria is expanded from Media to the Halles River in Asia and the southern Egypt. So geographically, Assyria is located upstream of the Tigris, which is red, in northern Mesopotamia. Historically, the capital was moved from place to place a few times. Nineveh and Ashur were the important Assyrian capitals. Over the past few times, during the divided kingdom, I have dealt with the events involving Israel and Assyria. Assyria was a nation that eventually destroyed North Israel. But before the destruction of North Israel, God urged Nineveh to repent by sending a prophet Jonah. Jonah did not want to prophesy Nineveh, God's judgment, but after his prophecy, people of Nineveh repented to avoid God's judgment and became more powerful country afterward. From the history of Nineveh, we can think about how important the work of the evangelist is and how meaningful and valuable the works of the evangelist is. The prophet Jonah shows us the life of the chosen people and the mission we have. Rather than we think this is the history of Jonah, but we think about how we Christians should live. As we examine the Bible from the Genesis to Revelation, we can see that chosen people are witness of God. From Abraham and from the covenant of Mount Sinai, we can see that the book of Isaiah we have covered until last week clearly shows that God has called us as witnesses to all the nation. And God clearly say in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10, "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me." The New Testament clearly shows that Jesus sent us as witnesses of God and the gospel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, And Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. The most glorious and blessed thing is being a witness of God like a light and salt. We usually think of evangelism as bringing people to the church, but that is not evangelism, but a guidance. An evangelist is someone who teaches the Bible and makes people know God correctly and convey the true heart of God. So I expect and hope that all the members of our church will grow as such witnesses and evangelists. So a Christian is a witness of God in all nations. This is our identity. Serving other people and offering our time and sharing our material is a good method to share the heart of the gospel. But this is only the method to share the heart of God. What we really have to do is teaching the word of God. This should be the worship of the church, the reason to worship, and also cell gathering is to help a person can have a personal relationship with God. Discipleship, what we're saying, is not making our own disciple, pastor's disciple, is we make a disciple, true disciple of Jesus. This is a healthy church. They put all the effort and energy to make a true disciple of the Christ. This is the reason we learn the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When we try to be a witnesses and live as a witnesses, what we shouldn't is that do not be afraid to share the gospel. Because it does not depend on the power of the evangelist who shares the word of God, but the power of the God. Only the word of God has the power to change people and make them to repent. The real change in life is not by the mysterious experience and miraculous power, but when the word of God touches us deeply. Even Jesus, in the time of the Jesus Christ, many people experienced a miracle from the Christ, but they all left. When we do not ask for the commitment, discipleship, disciplines, and obedience, maybe we can keep the good relationship among the people in the church. But if the relationship is not related to the life or as a witnesses, we have to reconsider whether this relationship is a healthy relationship. Even Bible says, do not deceive yourself, just merely listen the word of God. So this is what I hope you do, not just to listen to the word of God on Sunday, but to live by the word you heard. And moreover, I want you to grow to share what you have learned with others through the cell group meeting or in your community. If you became a Christian more than 3 years to 4 years in our church, you should be able to teach from the creation to the corruption and redemption to the final judgment and share the true heart of God. Do not forget that you are called to be a witness of God, not to be a religious person just attending the church, as Isaiah says. The pastor is not the guide to the heaven. My job is to make every single person become a witness and live a life of witnesses. Church shouldn't be just a good church in the eyes of human, but it should be the good church in the eyes of God. The book of Nahum is the prophecy of the destruction of the Nineveh, who had repented and been forgiven by Jonah 150 years ago. after repent and forgiven, how did Assyria come to destruction again? It's not the matter of Assyria. It's not the problem of only the problem of Assyria. This is the life of ourselves, our life. But why do we tend to go back to the place where is a sin and destruction? I want to say because we do not change the structure of our life. God's forgiveness does not mean that we can stay in the sinful place. When we listen to the gospel, understand and repent and receive forgiveness by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, we must come out of the sinful place and stand in the way of righteousness and the way of promise according to the word of God. However, most of people misunderstand that they are forgiven even when they insist on their sinful place. If you do not move out from the place of the sin, you easily flow with this temptation again. You have to come out of the old man's value, old man's habits, old man's sinful life. After we believe, became a Christian and saved, after we believe in Christ, our self has just been changed, but nothing, our environment is not changing. Transformation and changing of our life as a Christian is changing and transformation according to the Word of God. But what if you don't know about nothing about the Word of God? How can you make the change in your life? How can you be transformed? Our value and the paradigm and the structure should be changed what God tells us about within the Bible. The priority, our paradigm should be changed. Our value should be changed according to the Bible value. If your paradigm is not being changed, still remain in the old paradigm, and you're still seeking the old value of a life, there won't be any changes since even you became a Christian. You can see the Israelites when they saved from the land of the Egypt, and they made a promise with God and made a covenant at the mountain Sinai. And when they enter into the land of Canaan, they commit lots of sins and broke the promise. The word Nahum means to be comforted. But in fact, the contents of Nahum was filled with retaliation and destruction. And what is the comfort? How is it related to the word of comfort? It is comforting for Israel who are suppressed under the Assyrian threat and attack. Because this judgment is not for Israel, but for Assyria. Historically, since King Ahab and the King Jehu, king of the Israel about 870 BC, Assyria has continued to suppress Israel for over 200 to 250 years. Of course, the North Israel, they have been disobedient to God for over 200 years. So God used Assyria as an instrument for the judgment. However, this Assyrian people were so cruel and brutal. As we know of the event that King Sanherib invaded in the King Hezekiah time, Assyrians became too proud of themselves and even ridiculed God who gave them the power and authority. Thus many kings have not overcome their fears, have no reliance on God, and have steadily surrendered to Assyria or sought help from the Egypt. Thus, the news of retaliation and judgment against Assyria is comforting to the Jewish people who are afraid of a strong and cruel nation Assyria. Nahum was written between 664 BC and 612 BC. It is always important to know when the book of the Bible was written, but there are Bible books in which the Bible does not accurately record such information. If so, we should make a guess based on the text of the Bible. Thus, in the text, the occupation of Thebes mentioned in Nahum chapter 3 verse 8 is an important clue. It refers conquering the city of Egypt, Thebes, by the Assyrian king Ashurbanipal in 664 BC during the Egyptian revolt. And Assyria was destroyed 612 BC. So we can guess Nahum's prophecy of the destruction of the Assyria was between 664 to 612 BC. So as you see on the screen, the Thebe was occupied 664 BC. This is mentioned in Nahum chapter 3 verse 8. So we can guess it's already happened in the past. And Nahum is prophesizing the destruction of Assyria will happen, which is accomplished in the 612 BC. So we can assume the book of Nahum was written in between 664 to 612 BC. The location of the South Judah continued to be oppressed. The assault of the mighty nation of Assyria in the northeast and the Egypt in the south. The area where Israel is located is a triangular angular point where Asia, Mesopotamia, and Egypt meet. Either way, when those countries try to expand their power and expand the territory, it is a region where they must pass. So if they lose the power in the center of the triangle, they have no choice but to live a life of being crushed and surrendered by the power around. So God promised to lead the chosen people and to be their protector and guide. Later in the New Testament time, when the Holy Spirit came upon to the disciples in the Pentecostal night, and all this gospel throughout the world, because this geographical advantage, it could reach Asia and Africa and Europe very easily. If you think that you are trampled on, you will encounter enemy from three different directions. But if the gospel is preached here, it is a very important place where the gospel can be spread into three directions, which is all around the world. Thus, in order to make Israel the priest of the world, priest of the nation, God met them on the mountain Sinai and gave them a blessed command and promised to make them the head of the nations. But because there was no life of obedience to the promise, they became to be trampled. There is one thing that God cannot do, that is to disobey and go according to your own thought. If you do not believe with your own will and go out with your own stubbornness and greed, God cannot help you. So when we come across this kind of the phenomenon, events around the world today, like climate changes and coronavirus, we should consider why it's happening. There is hardly any comfort in Nahum, which contains the prophecy about Assyria and God's judgment. So the Book of Nahum is one of the books that people do not read much. The reason this book doesn't get many attention from the Christian is because there is no such a thing like a blessing at all. Perhaps there are someone who hears it about Nahum for the first time. So however, if you remember this historical background and well, and read and listen to these words, you will learn the nations and people who eventually disobey God will be perished. Thus, Nahum is not a book to be avoided, but as we see the judgment on the Assyria, which oppressed the God's people, we will see that it is the heart of the God truly comfort his people. So chapter 1 verse 1. A prophecy concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of the Nahum, the El-Koshite. Script tells us Nahum is the author, and the theme of this book is the warning prophecy against Nineveh. But it doesn't say when he was. If the word when is missing from the beginning of the book, it is difficult to know. So as you read, you can guess when the book was written through the historical event. Verse 2, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foe and avenge his wrath against his enemy. We do not see this often in the Bible. We always hear that God we know is a gracious, merciful, slow to anger, loving and good God. Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. This means that God is inherently slow and really patient, but in his time, he said, he never forgives sin. So we have only heard of a God who has always forgiven and endured, but we have heard very little about God who does not forgive. As a result, it is so common to see sinning and making excuses and say it is inevitable to live in this world, and everyone does. Even Christians get their heart hardened about the sinning and saying, oh, we can repent again. This is a totally misunderstanding of the Bible.
Of course, we are weak. We easily fall. So we are the people need to be saved, need to be forgiven. This is why we have to try to live by the word in daily life. We cannot be proud of ourselves because of our nature is a sin. Think about how much time you spend a day for holy life. This is why we have to read the Bible and get close to the Bible. Otherwise, our nature is just to soon after follow the sinful life. When Jesus saved us, we became a new person, but we are still tempted by the sin. Our habit is still same as yesterday.
We are born with fallen and polluted sin. So if we do not consider to let go of our thought, we are instinctively doing sinful things over and over again. So what parents will teach their children to lie and to make excuses? So we always have to look after our own thought with the Word of God. In our faith as well, we must continue to be awake to the Word. Even though the temptation of sin always come into our way, we must ignore them, choose to live according to the Word, and develop the power to live each day. let the word drive our life. Verse 3. In the translation, Jehovah is slow to anger, great in power, and never forgive the sinner. We often say that God loves the sinners and hates sins. But as you see in verse 3, God never tolerates sinners. Because verse 3 says, never forgive the sinner. Those who are judged in the Bible are called sinner. Who is judged? Those who insist on sin and hold on to the end without leaving it. The sinner then is one who persists in sin and deliberately ignore the word of God. It is not about a violent crime, but a habit of a small sin that does not obey and ignores and excuses God's word. God will never forgive a sinner who insists on living this sin. As I always say, people never go to hell by force, but by their greed on disobedient life, which is their choice. Therefore, the judgment of man comes because he is holding on to the sin until the end to the hell. God does not love sinner who insist on sin, but sinners who realize their sin and repent. He loves and blesses those who repent and live away from sin and live by God's promises and command. If you do not define them correctly, people mistake that God loves those who insist on sin. God is a God who is broken and sad because of the sinner, has a broken heart for the sinner, those who insist on sin, and have a compassion on them. However, he is angry and judge when the sinner insists on the sin until the end. The history of the Bible is the works of the painful sin. The sin is a serious matter and must be discarded so that God sacrificed the blood of his own one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, sinners must repent and turn their way back. Otherwise, they will be defeated by God's retaliation and judgment. Even though we know that sin causes the death penalty, as Romans said, it has been distorted the definition of sin so that people have no fear of sinning, even that they are loved. From the Psalm chapter 5 verse 4 to 6 said, for you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, the bloodthirsty and deceitful. You, Lord, detest. So idolatry is not just about making a tree or stone and bowing to it. You don't read the Bible and change the definition to your own comfort and believe what you want. Our God is not fast anger, but he longs to wait and wait for those who are stubborn in the way of sin, but he is not the God who leaves the sinner unjudged. You must know the Bible correctly. Otherwise, you will fall into the idolatry and become your own path, faith. That is why God tells us to know Jehovah and to know him with all our strength, with all our power. Judgment on Assyria, chapter 1, verse 4 to verse 8. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossom of Lebanon fade. The mountain quake before him, and the hill melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foe into the realm of darkness. Here we refer to the Nineveh, which is destroyed as flooding water. The overflowing water can be thought about in two ways. One is the Babylonian army that destroyed them, and the other is what really happened when the water overflows. Nineveh is located on the eastern side of the Tigris River, opposite side of the current Mosul in Iraq. Outstretched the river Tigris, the Red, and down below the Euphrates. However, until the excavation of the Nineveh in the 19th century, there was almost no historical evidence that it was a mysterious country that only appeared in the Bible. The Bible contains as many references to Assyria as we have seen so far. Practically no real trace of the Nineveh has been found for over 2,500 years. Alexander the Great of the Greece carried the historian during the war. His army encamped over the city of Nineveh and camped there, but did not know that it was a Nineveh. Thus, archaeologists have argued that Assyrian are heavily weighted in the Bible, and some people even said the Bible is wrong because no evidence has been found for so long. Then world was astonished at the historical accuracy of the Bible by the fact that the traces and the monument of Nineveh were discovered in the 19th century and fulfilled here as a Nahum chapter 1 verse 1 and the verse 8 prophesied. In 1820, after the first prediction that the site was Nineveh by a man named Claude James Rich, a British man in the Baghdad, several people continued to discover Assyrian ruins. In 1842, a Frenchman, P. Botta, excavated part of the Sargon Palace. And in 1845, the English layer excavated the palace of Psamaneser III. And in 1853, Rassem excavated the Eshbanipal Palace and the library. So Nineveh is currently in northern Iraq, Mosul, occupied by IS in 2014. The area where the Islamic State IS is now destroying its ruins is a Mosul region, the Assyrian culture. It was not over even though the excavation was conducted for more than 150 years from the 1845 when it was first discovered. When you excavate the site, you don't dig it with the fork rain, but digging it carefully with a small shovel and sweep it with the brush. And the discovering Nineveh was not large in size, as the book of the Jonah says. The meaning of the town of Nineveh in the book of the Jonah is therefore including the suburb of the Nineveh, including Gala, Resen, and Rehoboth on the eastern side of the Tigris River, 29 kilometers south. It can be seen that it is a vast area
covering all the cities, including the writing of the Genesis chapter 10, verse 11 and below. So it is clear from the archaeological sources that Nahum chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that prediction of the water destruction is exactly what happened in history. So the Bible is not an unscientific book, but super scientific book. The history in the Bible is not a story made by a man, but a real life history that cannot be hidden. The Bible continues to be revealed an accurate historical record. Some scholars studying archaeology believe that even believers are most likely to succeed only if they study and explore the Bible. The more we look at the history of this world, the more precisely we can see that many historical facts have been foretold in the Bible, and that history has been fulfilled as prophesied. The destruction of the Assyria through the prophet Nahum was also demonstrated on historical fact. Historically, what was prophesied by the prophet Nahum about 660 BC, or almost 50 years later, in 612 BC. Historically, Assyria was destroyed by the Babylon in 612 BC after Sanherib, Esarhaddon, the greatest heyday of the Ashurbanipal, whose Babylon was ruled by Assyria and was independent by Nabopolassar of New Babylonia in 625 BC. Nabopolassar defeated Egypt, fearing the emerging strong nation in the Mesopotamia region in 615 BC, and the Assyrian coalition of revenge. Then in 613 BC, Media occupied the city of Assyria, and later in 612 BC, Nineveh was destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar, the son of Nabopolassar. So Assyria withdrew to Haran, where Egypt sent an army to help Assyria against Babylon. At the time, King Josiah, who was aware of this situation, would stop fighting Pharaoh and Egypt in Megiddo and trying to help the Assyrian, and Assyria disappear from the history eventually. Therefore, for better understanding Book of the Prophecy, you must know the history book. The Nahum is not a long book, maybe it's too short to be a book, but it is clear what happened to the end of the life which ignored, despised, and neglected God, how God deals with the Sinai and how to deal with them. And it is clear how these histories of our lives are finally flowing and where the end of the history will come. God also demonstrates the judgment of the sinner who insists on their sins and endures sinful people to the end. Verse 2 and 3, the Lord is jealous, retaliating God. The Lord retaliates and is angry, but the Lord retaliates against those who oppose him, and he is angry with those who oppose him. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and never leave the one who want to be punished. God leaves God's people live by the faith and by word in any circumstances and situation. So our goal shouldn't be on this world, not on this earth. As we go through the Nahum, I hope you to realize where the true hope should be. Do not be discouraged or compromised with this world. Keep your faith and pursue your goal. In Jesus' name I pray. Do not be discouraged when you take walk the way of the cross. His word is the life of the way of the life. As we
found on the history, the power of Assyria and their great power wasn't from themselves. Was it given from the God? When they were proud of themselves, what happened? Judgment. Destruction. You are young here, still early 30s and 20s. Soon after, you will experience great success, some of you. But do not be proud of yourself. Be humble. You can be famous, you can be rich, but do not forget the lesson we learned from the Nahum. Be humble and remember where all this resource and power came from, given from. Let's be humble. Follow the value of the word. Remember and remind. Father God, we repent. We are the one have to change ourselves and transform ourselves to obedient life. Help us to follow the value of the heavenly Lord. Let's pray.